First up, rolling along here on TSN 1050 and on the iHeart Radio Canada app, Aaron Karolnik and Carlo Poliakovo with you, looking at our poll question. Our Poliakovo, who would you bet on to win the Rocket Richard Trophy? Leon Draisaitl at 4-1, Alex Ovechkin at 6-1, or Austin Matthews at 6-1. No surprise, Austin Matthews in our Toronto biased audience leading the way at 67%.
But still good of odds, man.
It is good.
5-1 right now with Matthews, who's on a 7-game goal scoring streak, 4 behind the lead. Like, how do you not take that? As good as Draisaitl and Ovechkin is, and don't get me wrong, those guys can easily. Look, Ovechkin's not going away. This guy was sick and tired in the offseason hearing everybody talk about everybody else but him. And this guy's saying, do you know who's been the Rocket Richard Trophy winner for most of the time since I've been in the league?
I think he's got 8. Does he not have 8 yes. Rocket Richards, Ovechkin? I mean, yeah, he's been dominant forever. Age 36, not slowing down at all. Carlo, I am shocked.
Sergey, his 3-year-old son.
Yeah, I am shocked that our next guest is willing to talk to us. I really am. Our former Maple Leafs reporter here at TSN, she probably hangs out with Stephen A. Smith all the time now.
Yeah.
From ESPN, Kristen
Schulten.
Kristen Schulten, back on First Up. What is Stephen A. Smith like, Kristen?
Oh, well, I can't spill those kinds of secrets, AK. You're not in the circle of trust at ESPN.
Ooh,
I mean,
wow, circle of trust now.
What is the circle of trust like there?
Well, hey, I can't tell. Come on now. Maybe I'll see you out sometime in the city and we can swap war stories.
Oh, okay. She's big dogging us now.
Yeah, no kidding. You're picking up the bill. I think we could say that will be safe to say. Kristen, welcome back to the show. It's great to connect, and clearly you're still covering the Leafs with a very close eye. And how would you vote on our poll question this morning with Austin Matthews on this absolute tear? 7 games in a row with at least one goal. Would you consider him the favorite to win the Rocket right now?
You know, I always think that whoever won it last year, if they're still on, you know, a goal-scoring tear, I think the tie goes to the runner in that case. But I don't know. I think that Alex Ovechkin has just been so dominant all year. I don't know if you can slow him down. That's the thing, is that he's, as Carlo was saying, he's done it for so long. He knows how to keep it up. He knows how to maintain that consistency. And he just had such a head start also on Austin Matthews. And I did write in October that I thought after, you know, the player who would be most improved by this point in the year would definitely be Matthews, because obviously coming off of the surgery, it was going to be a little tough for him to get going. But I don't know. I think Matthews has a great shot at it. But if Ovechkin keeps going the way that he is, he gets, you know, Backstrom back as well, Backstrom skating again. Hey, you never know if that's going to help him as well. So I think it could come down to the two of them. Wouldn't be surprised if it was either, but I think right now Ovechkin just looks pretty unstoppable.
Well, Kristen, I think I speak on behalf of Aaron and everybody else at TSN that we definitely miss having you as the TSN reporter. Your notes were always way better and still are way better than Mark Masters. So just give us a little update. Your role here was to be the TSN Leafs reporter. What is your role at ESPN?
Yeah, so I do a lot more features, a lot more long-form stories than I was doing on the Leafs beat. That was a lot of day-to-day, you know, line rushes and injury news and sort of individual stories of the day. And I did obviously a lot more radio as well. And then now I get to kind of dig into the whole league. So I'm really covering, you know, all 32 teams, but because I'm in Toronto still, I'm very lucky that ESPN has allowed me to stay in Toronto. I do get to obviously go to every Leaf game. I get to see the other team that's here as well, which is great. And it's been really fun journalistically just to get to tell some of those bigger stories about players that I don't really get to talk to, like Matthew Shane just did a story on him, you know, did a story earlier on Sergei Bobrovsky and Spencer Knight in Florida, teams that are hot, teams that are doing, you know, big things at certain times. That's fun. And then as well, there's long-term pieces. There's one coming out in the new year that I'm really excited about. So it's been interesting to get into the whole league after 5 years on just one team. But obviously, I know the Leafs so well, so I do like to still chime in a lot. And it's still, you know, it's still the team that I see the most frequently just because of geography. So I feel like I'm getting a good handle on everywhere else, but I still know the Leafs pretty well.
Amazing. So let's talk about the Leafs. You know, your departure from TSN 1050 was just before the season started, I would imagine. Was that the right time or after the season
just
started?
Just right after, like the second
okay.
week of the season, yeah.
Well, that was during a time where they weren't playing their best hockey, and you had the Leaf fan base in an uproar about this team and sort of the way they carried their you know, disappointment from last season into this season. I guess from afar, now that you've changed roles, are you surprised to see how good the Maple Leafs have been and are as a team right now?
No, I'm really not, because I thought that the best thing for that team was to go through what they did at the start and to have the struggles that they did, to not be able to score at will, to really have to buckle down defensively, even when it was tough, even when they didn't get the results that they wanted, because there's always been that feeling, I think, amongst the Leafs, not that it was a cockiness, but it was just an overconfidence maybe sometimes that they'd always be able to outscore mistakes and that they could always count on that offense. And then we saw what happened in the playoffs. The offense didn't get them through. And so to come in this season and see once again, hey, if we're going to be a complete team, we've got to know how to win games when we can't score five goals or when our best players aren't putting pucks in the net. So I knew that they would rebound and that they would find their way, but this is now a much better team than any other one that I've certainly covered in the 5 years that I was on the beat, because you're not thinking that if they can't score goals that it's just done and that they're not going to be able to buckle down and keep pucks out of the net, that they're not going to get the goaltending. I'm very surprised by how good Jack Campbell has been, and I say that as someone who was beating the Jack Campbell drum of, hey, this guy's legit. So even I am surprised by how well he has played. And then defensively, yeah, there's been some more bumps lately, especially I think Justin Hall, you know, being a bit of a surprise in terms of how he struggled. But just overall, I think the Leafs needed that reminder to start the year that you're not always going to be a 4-5 goal team every night. And when they're not, they're winning tight games and they're playing complete team defense. So that's where you can really see the growth. And that's why I think this season can be different for Toronto than it has been in years past.
And you can go to Kristen Shilton's ESPN NHL power rankings, which I believe you write weekly. Is it weekly you send those out, the power rankings?
Every Wednesday, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Every Wednesday, and your latest one has the Maple Leafs ranked as number 2 in the league, and their previous rank was number 4. So clearly you've liked what you saw with this team.
AK? Yes, and I will, yeah, and it's a whole collective. They're very, we're very, I think, complimentary of the Leafs on our ESPN NHL group as well. So it's not just me who sees the evolution of the Leafs, but they're definitely, I think, getting some attention all over the place.
Kristen Shilton is our guest, of course, our longtime Leafs reporter, now graduated to the heights of ESPN, and she makes her return to First Up this morning. Kristen, we've been talking about the Jason Spezza knee on Neil Pionk for 72 hours now, it seems, and finally last night we found out that he would receive a 6-game suspension for the incident on Sunday against Winnipeg. What was your reaction when you heard the number 6 for Spezza?
I thought 6 was high. I wonder what was said in the meeting. I wonder what sort of went on behind closed doors in terms of how the Leafs and Spezza defended what he did. I don't know if that would have had any effect ultimately on the ruling, but if you look back at the precedent, I thought maybe 4, perhaps 5 at the very top, but I didn't see 6 coming. Just, I mean, over 1,200 games, never had an issue with the Department of Player Safety. He's not that kind of player, just in terms of he wouldn't make a retaliatory, you know, play. That's just not in his nature, really. You know the type of character player that he is. So it felt like they really threw the book at him, and it was a dangerous play. Obviously, now that I think Pionk being in concussion protocol definitely influenced it. Maybe that got him another game. And certainly when we were talking about it originally, we didn't know that Pionk was hurt until yesterday before the hearing. So that probably had an influence on the six games. But you watch the video back, and you watch it in slow motion, you see the Department of Player Safety's video, and you can understand where Spezza maybe just didn't mean for his, you know, the collision where he defended himself saying, I didn't mean to hit him like that, he fell. And maybe that was the case. Obviously, the player safety department didn't think that, but maybe that's what he saw. And either way, it's just, I think he's obviously going to appeal his suspension. And for a player of his reputation, you don't want that on your record. You don't want a six-game suspension for kneeing, and the guy's got a concussion now. That's not, you know, a legacy that you want to have this late, obviously, in such a great career. So I thought it was a hefty suspension, but if they're trying to send a message about, you know, head hits of any kind, that definitely, obviously, with the amount of conversation it sparked, I think the league has players thinking probably pretty heavily about those moments where can they pull back, can they stop in the moment? I don't know. I've never been going that fast on skates in those types of moments in a contentious game, but it just as a player, you've got to think about those moments now because you don't want to be in the same situation Spezza found himself in.
Yeah, I don't know. It's crazy to think that he got six games when you look at the way some of the other suspensions were handed out in the league. I mean, you go back 2 years ago with Tom Wilson getting seven games from hitting Carlo and Brendan Lemieux for biting Kachuk twice. Got less games than Jason Spezza. I shake my head at this. And, you know, if you want to talk about, you know, Pionk being in concussion protocol, if that would have added a game, well, why wasn't that factored into Rasmus Sandin's injury when they decided to hand out punishment for Pionk, right? I mean, it's just, they find ways to contradict themselves, and that's just what people get upset about, is just the inconsistency in some of their decision-making. But, look, you could say the same thing about the referees, right? I mean, if the referees just call what's on the ice, none of that stuff happens, and it's a moot point right now. So, but, you know, if you're still in Toronto, you're doing ESPN, you're covering the Maple Leafs, a team in Canada. Who do you think the team outside of Toronto, or who would you categorize the next best team in Canada?
Ooh, I mean, it's got to be Calgary, and it's got to be Calgary because I just did not expect, and I think there's a lot of people that would agree, I did not expect for the Flames to be in the contending spot that they are. And I actually wrote that in my power rankings this week about Calgary. They're the biggest surprise of the year for me. I would have thought maybe a bubble contender going into the year. Didn't think that Daryl Sutter was going to get this team going. Didn't think Andrew Mangiapane was going to be as incredible as he has been. Just such a, they again, kind of like the Leafs, they look like a very complete team. They're getting the goaltending. They're getting the offensive contributions. They have, you know, good defensive habits. Just all around, they've got a good mix of veteran players and young guys, and it seems like they're gelling. And it won't be perfect. Obviously, you're going to have ups and downs, but I've been really impressed with Calgary's consistency and their overall ability to just beat you in a lot of different ways. So they've been very impressive. And I think the Jets are going to get rolling again. They've had a rough start. I think the lack of offensive contributions from some of their better players has obviously hurt them, but there's a lot of runway left in this season, and no pun intended for the Jets. And I think that Winnipeg, I think Winnipeg has a great shot as well of really climbing the standings and pressing. So those are two other Canadian teams that I like. It's you know, a nice contrast to the other four Canadian teams that, not Edmonton, I shouldn't say, the three Canadian teams that are maybe struggling a little bit, although Vancouver has been an interesting story, if nothing else, especially now with Bruce Boudreau back over there.
Bruce, there it is.
Yeah, Bruce, there it is. And if you're wondering why...
start of the season.
Yeah, no, I agree. And if you're wondering why ESPN wanted Kristen Schulten as part of their roster of analysts and reporters, I mean, that joke about the runway and the Jets was
there. You go.
Oh,
very
well done. Very well done. There you go this morning. I like that.
Yeah, that's what we do here. Thank you, as always, for joining us. It's great to have you back on the show, and continued success at ESPN. You're doing fantastic stuff.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys. I still listen every morning, so it's good to be back.
Nice. Once a first upper, always a first upper, right?
All right. Thank you, Kristen.
Have a good one, guys.
See you, Kristen.
You too. That's Kristen Schulten, NHL reporter for ESPN.